Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. This is Lanice Williams with another edition of the Cobb County edition of Business Radio X, where I highlight the best and the brightest that are in and serving Cobb County. And we have someone today who just joined us 2 days ago.
That's right.
Right. Mr. Olson was here telling us all about Marietta Business Association, but now Mr. Dave Olson is here to tell us all about his business, North Star Payroll. And he has also brought his lovely business development executive, April Rhodes.
Hello.
Hi. How are both of you today?
Great.
We're doing great.
Great. So we need to know about payroll. We need to know about everything that you do. So tell me a little bit about North Star Payroll.
All right. Well, we appreciate the opportunity. I think when you boil it down, it's pretty simple. Businesses that have employees, got to pay them.
They don't want to work for free, right?
That's right. So our job is that we partner with small to medium-sized businesses, as well as with churches and nonprofit organizations, and deliver a personal and customized approach to helping them get that job done. It's kind of rooted out of 35 years of CPA and CFO kinds of experiences to put together payroll and employee management solutions that help our clients improve their operations and position for growth.
Awesome. So what makes your company different from the other companies that offer this service?
Well, That's a good question, one that we get asked regularly. And
yeah, everyone wants to know, why are you special, right?
Exactly, yeah. And as I said, it starts with the fact that a smaller independent organization just naturally tends to have more of a focus on the relationship aspect. And so that's a really important component, but also built into our approach to how we work with clients is that being a payroll provider is not just about processing somebody's data. It's about being there to provide guidance and direction and help them in the management of their business. So that's really the part of it for me that kind of makes it fun, is being that business advisor and being there to help them solve their problems.
Awesome. And as a business owner, I'm sure you can definitely relate to the things that are going on with them.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
So tell me, is payroll really that difficult? So I know you can go online and there are tools where you can calculate a person's paycheck, you know, whether it's bi-weekly, monthly, or not bi-weekly,
bi-weekly.
I'm having a little brain moment here. Yeah. But I know you can go on, and there are tables that can actually tell you how much they're supposed to get paid. So do they really need your company?
Yeah, that's a fairly common misconception is, well, isn't it pretty simple? The way I sum it up is with simply saying that, yeah, calculating a paycheck, that is pretty simple, but managing all of the compliance responsibilities around it and managing the employees, that's not so simple. Yeah, so that's really where our job picks up, is, you know, the employer obviously has to decide how much am I paying people and all of that, but we take it from there and keep track of what all of their responsibilities are and manage that on a week-to-week and month-to-month basis.
And I'm sure you send the money to the appropriate organization that it's supposed to go to, so that's another thing that they don't have to worry about, right?
Yeah, exactly. It becomes a, as close as we can make it, it becomes a hands-off process. So once they give us the initial information, we manage everything from sending the direct deposits to managing the taxes, the filings, all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. That people can't, I mean, it's really hard. Like you said, you're trying to run a business. You're trying to go out, meet people, drum up your business. You're trying to still educate yourself in your field. I mean, so much going on, so many dynamics. So I'm sure just being able to take that off of a person's plate has to be useful.
Right.
You know, I mean, as a lawyer, I would have to advise a person, you know, you don't want the IRS knocking on your door. That's the last person you want bothering you.
Yeah, and that brings up a rather unfortunate statistic, mm-hmm. which is that roughly one-third of small businesses get penalized each year mm-hmm. related to their payroll tax responsibilities. And it's one of those things that whether it's the IRS or the state government, when it comes to payroll taxes, they don't mess around. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't file your income tax return, well, maybe in a few months or a year later, they might send a letter saying, how come you didn't file?
Right.
With payroll taxes, it could be, you know, weeks or at most 2 or 3 months. And if you don't take care of those responsibilities, they will shut your business down.
Oh, wow. Wow, I didn't realize that. Yeah. So, yeah, they need to call you.
Yeah.
Know your area of expertise, right?
Right.
So you mentioned that you serve employers in three different segments. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about those?
Sure. Yeah. You know, it breaks down kind of naturally and into three categories that I call small employers, medium-sized employers, mm-hmm. and then a specialty area that we deal with around churches and nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, small employers, of course, you know, they've got all kinds of things coming at them because they're trying to do it all,
right.
as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, April, what kinds of things do you hear people say when you're out there talking to small employers in terms of the reasons why they feel the need for help?
Yeah, definitely. When we interact with small business owners, they're so occupied with trying to run their business mm-hmm. that the last thing that they need to do is focus on something that's just a piece of supporting the business and can be unduly complex at times. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that we tell people is if you're going to outsource anything, this is one thing that you want to outsource. It's very reasonably priced. It's worth it. And it will take this off your mind. You won't have to be penalized later for not mm-hmm. properly paying your payroll taxes. And it's mm-hmm. something that we not only do for them properly and with excellence, we also come alongside of them as a business partner. And for a new business owner, from somebody just getting started especially, you really need as much support as you can get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I'm sure. And especially just to make the most use of your time as a business owner.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. One good point that April mentioned there in terms of the expertise, you know, I think people understand it in several areas. You mentioned even, you know, background as a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Well, people get the fact that they don't know all the laws, they don't know legal process and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So when they have an issue, they recognize
call an expert, right?
Yeah, call an mm-hmm. expert. And when it comes to filing tax returns, you know, most people understand the fact that that's not their area of expertise. Well, From the tax perspective, payroll is a specialized area of tax knowledge, mm-hmm. and so that's one of the things. My favorite example that I came up with a year or two ago, when somebody was trying to understand, so you know, what's the level of complexity. I went back and found an old W-2 from the 1980s. Mm-hmm. And counted up the number of different pieces of information that were potentially reportable on mm-hmm. that W-2. And the number, I believe, was 27. Mm-hmm. Then I did the same thing with a current W-2. And of course, as you've already guessed the answer, it has expanded dramatically.
I'm sure.
Yeah, the number was 69.
Wow.
So that even though there is no single business that uses every single one of those mm-hmm. reporting elements, it's just an illustration of how the complexity has grown mm-hmm. over the years. And so that's just part of our job, is to stay on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I guess, that I see with business owners and sort of their perception of where they need help is that when they step back and look at their business from a risk management point of view, mm-hmm. which all of their professional advisors, you know, encourage them to do, their insurance advisors are obviously, you know, they get risk management, right. But their, you know, their legal and their tax advisors get that idea too. And that's another good way to think about it is, as a small business owner, how do I reduce my risks? Because when I control those risks, I'm increasing my chances of success. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody has to do on a day-to-day basis. Definitely. is figure out, you know, where are the things that are potential gotchas that mm-hmm. are going to jump out and mm-hmm. get you in trouble.
Right. Don't want those.
Yeah.
And one great thing that Dave really offers to the customer, because I'll be out there interacting with new businesses, gaining the business, and then I kind of transfer it over to him and they start talking with him. He's able to say, okay, hey, let's take a look at how your people are set up. Should they be a contractor? Should they be a W-2? And then it just brings up a slew of whole other issues, like, do you need workers' comp insurance? Mm. And those aren't necessarily services that we provide, but we just might throw a flag like, hey, you just might want to be aware of that. And so it's just like that extra layer of consultation and help for that small business mm-hmm. that you're not going to get from a large payroll company, potentially, that's you're just getting through a 1-800 number.
Right. You just slip through the cracks with them, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are some of the common errors that small employers make, which I guess you said those, what did you call them? Those aha or those boom?
The gotchas.
The gotchas, yeah. What are some of those for business owners?
Yeah, well, April was just mentioning one of them, and this is extremely common, of not truly understanding the difference between who's a contractor, mm-hmm. who's an employee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get the reason that people kind of want to lean in the contractor direction yeah. because mm-hmm. an employee costs you a little extra money for payroll taxes. Mm-hmm. So the incentive is obvious as to why a lot of people want to lean the other way. But The problem is that the government's not so sympathetic about that.
They tend to be that way sometimes.
yeah, and so you really gotta spend the time to make sure you understand how your business is set up, how your relationships are set up with the people that are doing work for you, mm-hmm. and not get into the gotcha category mm-hmm. with that one, because the. The unfortunate side of it is that if the government comes around and takes a look and says, no, you should have been treating them as employees, well, then the business owner is on the hook for the taxes that should have been taken out of the employee.
Mm-hmm. That's no fun.
That's mm-hmm. no fun, and it can be big dollars. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's definitely a gotcha.
Yep, yeah. So that's one of them. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about the timing complexities is another. In the efforts to try and have reasonable levels of burden on different sizes of employers, the government has, by virtue of that, actually ended up with a system that can be a little bit complex for people to figure out where they fall. And so with each type of tax, you know, the taxes that are due to the IRS, the taxes that are due to the State Department of Revenue, mm-hmm. and so on, there are a number of different thresholds. So depending on the dollar total that particular employer has of each of those kinds of taxes, that will determine the timing of when those taxes need to go in. Mm-hmm. And so the number of different payroll tax payments or deposits that an employer may need to make can range anywhere from around, on the low end, 14 or 15 dates over the course of the year, up to as high as around 60 to 70 different.
Big difference.
Yeah, there is. And for the average person who's only dealt with the tax system from an individual perspective, mm-hmm. you have one due date in your mind, April 15th, right?
Right.
Everybody knows that one. But with payroll taxes, you're expected to mm-hmm. stay on top of all of them and know when you have crossed a threshold that now it needs to be in within 5 days instead of 2 weeks or that type of thing. So that's a really common one. And, you know, referring back to what I mentioned about the percentage of employers that get penalized, that's one of the primary reasons is just not staying on top of those due dates.
Yeah. And the government doesn't really take the whole ignorance of the law or ignorance of your responsibility as a defense.
Yeah. And April, I don't know, maybe you could talk about one other one that we run into there about the, you know, the salary and exempt employees. It's another just common misconception type of thing.
So is that kind of related to the employee versus contract employee?
Not so much. No, you know, this is more in the category of when you have an employee, how do you determine their pay? And so
I think I'll let you handle that one.
You don't like
pass
that
the
one,
torch.
Huh? Yeah, that's fine. You know, a lot of people use the term salary, and in their minds, okay, it's simple, it's straightforward. Here's how much somebody gets paid. Well, there's another term that they are quite often equating it with, but it's not equal, and that is being exempt from overtime. So to be exempt from overtime, an employee has to be supervising at least two other employees, and they have to have significant management decision-making authority in order to be considered a exempt employee.
So that would make them like a salaried employee?
So that's one that really people make a mistake on a lot.
Sure.
You know, they'll have a let's say an office manager, and they say, "Oh, you know, she gets a salary of so much a week." Well, he or she really doesn't matter, but the question is, do they meet those qualifications? You know, are they supervising employees, and are they making management type decisions? If not, and if they end up working 45, 50, 50 hours a week, they are due overtime. And that's another one where if you do it wrong for an extended period of time and then an issue comes up, and usually it's because something goes sour with an employee, frankly.
Yeah. that happens.
Yeah. And then they're looking at, did I get everything that was due to me?
Right. Disgruntled employees.
Yeah. And so the accumulation of dollars can be really big in some cases. Yeah.
Now, do small employers need help with things beyond just managing the payroll calculations and the deposits that you mentioned?
Yeah. You know, we've mentioned just as a starting point, simply having a relationship as a business advisor. You know, that's an important starting point, is just to that we spend enough time with our clients to understand something about the business that they're operating, what kinds of challenges they have. You know, you've probably heard the saying, you know, it's all the same, but it's all different. You know, so yeah, we're all dealing with a lot of the same elements, but the way we deal with them is different. And so that's one place that we start with. And then when it comes to managing employees, there's a variety of different kinds of tools that can be helpful from for employers as well. One, I know you've dealt with some of our clients on this, April, is around timekeeping.
Yeah, that's a big one that prior to working in this industry, didn't really understand how that helped one another. But if you think about something simple like a restaurant, maybe you've waited tables or been a hostess, you walk into your little sales system and you log in. Or maybe old school, like me back in the day when I worked in a restaurant, you kind of actually clock in. So what's nice about these systems is that all that can be integrated. And so if you can imagine a manager of the restaurant, many years ago, they had to do so many duplicate steps. Take that number, put it on a spreadsheet, and then enter into payroll. So what we're able to do is kind of streamline that so it's not double work, double entry. So from the moment that that employee clocks in, and then, of course, there'll be a management approval, make sure there's not some big error. That gets seamlessly put into the payroll system. And if they're using an accounting software like QuickBooks, that then gets seamlessly downloaded back to them, so they don't have to re-enter that.
So you guys, because I know I had a business, I had about 13 employees, and so we had to go in physically every 2 weeks, count the number of hours, and then send that to the payroll company. But you guys can actually eliminate that step?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, we do have a number of clients that take advantage of that. And again, it's just streamlining your daily and weekly duties so that you're not wasting time.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, and it reduces errors, too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been studies done, across the industry that timekeeping systems will reduce overall cost for a business by several percentage points. Mm-hmm. And in any business, several percentage points on their total labor cost, that's usually a pretty significant element for their bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I like that. Now, I know earlier you mentioned that you worked with small and mid-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. So what is the difference between a small and a mid-sized business?
Yeah, you know, so I guess I'll call it the obvious, or what people would assume the obvious answer is, that it's just how many employees. Mm-hmm. And there's a relationship, although I'd say that the crossover point can be a little bit of a gray area. I use 50 as a rough dividing line, but based on the particular business, it could start at 20 or 25 employees, or with others, it may not start until closer to 75 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
Just depends.
Kind of depends.
Yeah, depends. Mm-hmm. But that really points out that one of those elements that makes a mid-sized business different is structure.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get into a business where it has grown to a point where you have departmental managers, for one example, now you have management structure that has to be managed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to have a greater need for processes that that create consistency and accountability across the business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first element that really makes those mid-sized business different. Another one that sort of comes out of that is just their needs in the area of management information.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got managers and you're relying on them to take care of things, ultimately as the owner, you still have to understand what's going on, what the results are. And so a greater emphasis around management information is another strong element that differentiates. Another one that goes along with that is what I call process management.
Mm-hmm.
I made a reference to accountability. Well, how do you get accountability? Is number one, you define what you want to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you put a system in place to help make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, you look at the results to see, did it happen?
Okay. Right. That's important.
Yeah. So that's another one. And then I guess the last one that comes to my mind is that as a business grows, there tends to be more technology, more systems that they're using for a variety of different purposes. And so managing that technology and dealing with points of integration between different systems where information that's created in one system may be needed in another, that's something that that we run into as we get up into those, 50, 75, 100-employee businesses on up to, several hundred we deal with.
Mm-hmm. So what do you guys feel that you need to do to address those needs?
Well, I guess the first answer to that is just the approach, that we use. And that is looking at the business as a comprehensive whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we say that we are payroll service providers, that doesn't just happen in an isolated corner over somewhere. You know, it's part of a business operation. And so when we sit down and talk with these kinds of mid-sized businesses, we're getting into the conversations about how are you managing your employees? You know, what are your challenges in those areas? Even into things like, you know, how are you doing performance management? How are you doing your employee onboarding processes mm-hmm. when you have new people come in? And so that really becomes more the core of the conversation versus simply, you know, some people have the simplistic idea, well, it's about processing the payroll data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in my mind...
It's a lot more than that.
Yeah, in my mind, that's more of the end result than it is the core of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one thing I'll add in regards to the difference between small and medium-sized business, exactly what Dave is saying is their needs from a system standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to kind of differentiate and offer truly small businesses that really just need, hey, I just need direct deposit, my payroll taxes, able to offer that to them at a really, really good price for their business. And then we have larger platforms, larger softwares to accommodate the more medium-sized businesses that help them from the moment that a person comes in and interviews and captures their information and records their performance to the time that they choose to leave or are terminated. Mm-hmm. Tons of kind of electronic version HR resources for a business to use. So it's a really, just like Dave was saying, comprehensive approach to provide them much more than just, hey, payroll.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, I think anybody who has... worked in a corporate environment has probably encountered what are referred to as HRIS systems, something like a PeopleSoft or something of that nature that large corporate environments lean on. And so there's sometimes the challenge for a mid-sized business of, you know, what is there that fits our needs? Because a lot of times those solutions are just more than what a mid-sized business needs, but they need something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an area that we've found real opportunity to make a difference in helping them, because we, as part of what we utilize in doing our job, we have a technology platform that is an integrated payroll and HRIS platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody wants to start tapping into some of those kinds of capabilities without a huge system and a lot of overhead, we're able to help them implement processes that are repeatable and that they can track within their business.
Wow. So definitely much more than just cutting checks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned management information. Mm-hmm. I thought payroll was just a matter of calculating pay and payroll taxes. How do you help with that management information?
Well, let's go back to one of the things we mentioned, the time tracking systems. Mm-hmm. That's probably a good place to start. Once time as a measurement has been gone through the payroll process and been converted into payroll dollars, there's still lots of different things that the managers and the owners may need to understand about those dollars and how they're being spent so that they can run their business better.
Mm-hmm.
One example is that overtime costs, you know, for certain types of businesses, that becomes really important to manage. Mm-hmm. And if you have multiple departments, being able to break that down by department, by time period, by manager, if, you know, depending on what your structure is, and drill down into that and do trending analysis and be able to really run analytics against it, that is an example of where the management information really comes into play. Another kind of current world example of a new piece of management information that's being put on as a burden for employers, and that is Affordable Care Act compliance.
Mm-hmm.
this is not dealing with the pros and cons of of ACA.
That would be a totally different show,
totally
right?
Different discussion, different discussion. This is simply about, okay, you know, I've got this situation. If you're a business with 50 or more employees, you've got to do the compliance tracking. Mm-hmm. There's just no two ways around it. You've got to do it. Mm-hmm. And so with our platform that we utilize, we have built right into there a dashboard that monitors the compliance. So you've got employees in different classifications, you know, full-time, part-time, qualified, not qualified, all those kinds of things. And so as payroll happens through the system, we have a real-time view of the compliance tracking. You know, there's things that are referred to as a look-back period over a number of months, and so the tools in our system will enable somebody to have that at their fingertips, rather than it being something you come to the end of the year, and you know, your accountant or whoever. Your insurance advisors are saying, okay, we need all the data so that we can check if we're still in compliance.
And you're frazzled.
Right, and you're trying to figure out, how do I get all that data? Uh-huh. Well, because we're dealing with a system that has the data, it becomes a very natural and easy way to do it, is just to utilize the tools that are there in the system. Mm-hmm. So it's at your fingertips, rather than being one more job you got to do.
No, it's another gotcha that you prevent.
Yeah.
Now, I know you mentioned earlier your work with churches and nonprofits. I'm really interested in that. What do you do with churches and nonprofits? Is it really different from what you do with small and mid-sized businesses?
Yes and no. So on one hand, of course, you could say the basic job is the same job. But what's different is really having a deep understanding of their situation and how and where and why they may have some specific needs that are a little different. Probably the easiest to understand is to just look at it from the tax point of view, and we'll take churches just because they're sort of the most unique. And a lot of that uniqueness revolves around very specific tax rules that affect ministers. And for anybody that has never had any contact with this, the first time they look at it, they scratch their head and say, I have no idea what you just said. But number one, ministers are employees for wage reporting purposes, but they are considered self-employed for Social Security tax purposes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so you end up with a really kind of hybrid situation.
That's so unusual.
Yeah. And then they have another unique factor that's referred to as the housing allowance. It's a special category of treatment that is in our tax code that allows them, and it, you know, grew out of the fact that over many years, it used to be more common that a lot of churches would provide what we called a parsonage. And but then you had some ministers who owned their own house, and in the olden days, it used to be quite often on the grounds of the facility, and they sort of had to look after the facility too. And out of a whole bunch of those factors grew this concept of the housing allowance, which is exempt from income tax, but it's still subject to the self-employment tax. So you got to track that.
They need you.
Thing that has to do with tax law, you got to have your documentation. So that is one prominent example. But there's others. Just with general nonprofits, there are some things that are different for a very small nonprofit versus a larger nonprofit. One example having to do with unemployment taxes. So knowing what those breakpoints are and how to advise them, from a manage, you know, call it management point of view, because it doesn't matter whether you consider it a for-profit business or a nonprofit or a church or whatever, it's still a management challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, money's coming in, money's going out.
Right.
It's got to be managed.
Right. So they want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I understand that North Star has a top 10 list.
Yes.
Do you want to provide us with that information? Do we need a drum roll?
Sure. We need a drum roll. Okay.
There we go.
Yeah. And I'll have to put a disclaimer in up front.
Oh, there we go. I love disclaimers.
Unfortunately, these are probably not as funny as some of the top 10 lists that you've heard before. But they are sort of the top 10 gotcha kind of list.
We like that word. Let's hear these gotchas.
Yeah. April, you want to give us number 10?
Once you have one employee, you are in the game. So do it right from the beginning. The IRS doesn't care if it is just you or 100 employees, the rules still apply.
Okay, that's number 10. Going on to number 9, which is any system, payroll, timekeeping, performance management, whatever, can be used to help you manage, but you have to commit to a consistent process to get the value out of it.
Commit, commit, commit.
That's right.
Number 8, they are just part-time is not an excuse to pay someone as an independent contractor.
Mm. Mm-hmm. One of the more common misconceptions I run into out there. Number 7, the business owner and the people writing the checks are personally liable for any unpaid payroll taxes, even if a corporation is considered to be the employer. So make sure not to get behind, particularly if you're in that position of responsibility.
Definitely.
Number 6, make sure your payroll provider can provide you a report of dates and amounts remitted to each tax agency. And that's one thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really emphasize transparency. Over the years, I've heard bad stories about things that happened with payroll taxes, and my commitment as a professional is we want our clients to know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Number 5?
Number 5. New hire reporting is required of all Georgia employers. And a lot of people actually don't know about this system and the fact that recovering delinquent child support through garnishing wages is the primary reason for that system.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So all employers have to do it. Doesn't matter how little or how big you are.
Mm-hmm.
I put them on salary does not automatically mean the employee is exempt from overtime pay or from minimum wage rules.
Oh, we talked about that one earlier.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. Number 3, if you wonder whether someone can be treated as an independent contractor, at least stop and think about two words, risk and control. Who is taking the business owner type of risk? And who is in control of the time, the place, the tools, etc.? Even if you don't look at the more lengthy list of factors and questions you can use as a test, just with those two words, the answer is usually obvious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number 2, they aren't permanent is not an excuse to pay someone as an independent contractor.
Mm. Another common. Do you hear a theme here about? And number 1.
Okay, just, here we go. Here's the big
drum roll. Yeah, just to lay it out there and, you know, state our opinion. If all you want is data processing, go right ahead. Use QuickBooks or one of the big box payroll companies. If you want have a payroll professional who can help you as part of your business advisor team, then we offer ourselves North Star Payroll.
Call North Star. So, leaving on that number 1, if they want your services and they want to find out more about North Star, how can they find out about all you have and all you have to offer?
Well, a starting point, of course, we have our website, mm-hmm. northstarpayroll.com, and provides a bit of information for each of those different categories, types of employers that we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a contact us form right on there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also welcome to contact us directly. Our number is 770-450-6474.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call us or email us. Just give you the generic email address, info at northstarpayroll.com. We'll get to us.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, it has been a pleasure having you, April, and having you, Dave.
Thank you.
Again. Second time this week, but it was fun both times.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing this information, because this is stuff that business owners really need to know. They don't need those gotchas. They need you guys to protect them.
Right.
So thank you so much again. I look forward to having you guys on again to tell us more about what's going on with North Star.
All right. Thanks a lot.
This is Lanice Williams signing off for another edition of the Cobb County edition of Business Radio X, where I highlight the best and the brightest that are in and serving Cobb County. Until next time.